A couple of years ago, I did talks on all of my teachers. I was fortunate to have four wonderful teachers, and three of the talks are up on the website, right? And one of the talks disappeared. Actually, it was recorded here once, and it was recorded at St. Ignatius once during the Sesshin, and both talks disappeared. I don't know why. So I've done the talks that are up on the internet. I talks about my first teacher, Kiyoto Nakagawa Roshi, who was a wonderful Japanese teacher. And my second teacher, in a way, keeps coming up in my life, but my second teacher was Bernie Glassman Roshi, who says my root teacher, the teacher from whom I eventually received transmission. There's a talk about Bernie up on the internet. And although all of these talks, they're all these characters tend to come up in all the talks. And then the third talk about Jishu Roshi, who probably my heart teacher. And for a while, she and Bernie were both my teachers, officially. And then Jishu died really suddenly. And I was finishing up with Bernie. And part of the coincidental path and all of this stuff was I had just started doing the koan study with Jishu just before she died. Week before she died, Bernie and Jishu moved from Yonkers to Santa Fe. After she died, Bernie and I tried to do the koan, continue the koan study via email. This was before Skype, which might have worked better. But it was, you know, it wasn't quite face to face. And after a couple of koans, Bernie decided that this wasn't working, and he suggested that I do the koan study with Roshi Robert Kennedy, Bob Kennedy, who lives in Jersey City and was more accessible than Bernie was in Santa Fe, or for the year that he was in La Honda, which is closer to San Francisco, or then in Santa Barbara. The talks about Kiyoto Roshi and Bernie Roshi and Jishu Roshi, they were all up on the internet, and the talks about Kennedy Roshi keep disappearing. So we're going to see whether we can get a talk done about Kennedy Roshi, which doesn't get lost, but it may, you know, this just may be karmic that no talk about Kennedy Roshi will ever make it to the internet. Is that what it's called? The internet. Koan practice is very important to Roshi Kennedy. So when I do a talk about Roshi Kennedy, or when I do a talk and he's there, I try to come up with a koan to talk about. I don't often talk about koans, but for Roshi I should have a koan. And the talk that went off into the ether, we had a koan, which I don't remember anymore. But we were talking the last 2 weeks. How many of you were here the last 2 weeks? And some of you were here last week. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about stuff about this teacher-student relationship, and a little bit about what is enlightenment, maybe. How do you get from being a student to a teacher, kind of thing? So the koan koans, for those of you who are new to this language game, koan means public case. And they're these usually very short little stories that in a sense make teaching points, or maybe teaching non-points, that have been used by teachers since I don't know, maybe say 1,000 years, but they've been used by teachers, beginning in China, and their stories usually about real or maybe unreal previous generations of teachers and students. And a couple hundred years ago in Japan, it's gone through a lot of history. It went through a time when you could buy the answers to the koans. This was sort of like, they had a scandal at West Point a couple of years ago. People were cheating on the test. So some of the people burned all the koan books because the students were just cheating. They were buying the answers and coming in. It's gone through ups and downs. And then a couple of hundred years ago in Japan, Hakuin did this codification of koans. He had one category, and there's four categories, and the final category is what he calls the hard-to-pass koans. They're all pretty hard to pass, but these are the officially hard to pass koans. So I'm going to tell you about my koan study with Robert Kennedy. Roshi Kennedy. So we did, four books of koans, ultimately about 300 koans over a period of 6 years. That means it was about an average of a koan a week. Some koans took longer, some less time. But what I realized somewhere around the end of these 6 years of koan study was that for me there was only one koan. And that was my relationship with Bernie Roshi. That's what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. It's this student-teacher relationship. And this disappointing phenomenon about Zen teachers is that as perfect as we all are, not just the teachers, but all of us, we're all perfect. But I would say none of us, I don't want to insult anybody, very few of us quite live up to our own ideals, let alone the ideals that other people hold for us. Meaning that one way or another, we are all pretty big disappointments. Not just students, but everybody. And the ultimate challenge, this final koan that we sit with, is how could I possibly be perfect? If my teacher isn't even perfect, how can I be perfect? If my teacher doesn't match this on the pedestal ideal, that's hard to believe that that's the final koan, you know, because it's the first koan too. And that's, does a dog have Buddha nature? Right? We all know, because I've told you this, so even if you weren't here, you must have heard it through the through the atmosphere. You know, is it this poor monk, you know, and a lot of these poor monks remain nameless in history. So many Zen students have studied this koan, and this poor little guy is nameless still. Travels all the way across China to come to the great Chao Cho to ask him if a dog has Buddha nature, and that's stupid. Says to me, that's stupid. You know, he had to travel by foot. He's traveling all the way across China by foot to ask if a dog has Buddha nature. You know, because you've heard me tell you this, that he's not guilty, he doesn't care about the dog. You know, do I have Buddha nature? You know, this is, I know Buddha said everybody has Buddha nature, and I know that you have Buddha nature, and you have Buddha and you have nature, and you have Buddha nature, but I'm such a mess. Do I have Buddha nature? How could I possibly? Very much the same as the final koan. And part of the interesting kind of, you know, way in which life would come by is, like I said, this was about a year before before I started studying with Roshi Bob, that Bernie had made me a Dharma holder. Dharma holder is, like an engagement. It's not the same thing as the wedding, and there's no guarantee that the wedding is going to happen, but it's a commitment. It means that the teacher thinks that a particular student is going to be receive transmission, be someone who can transmit the Dharma continuous lineage. Bernie made me a Dharma holder. It's kind of mind-boggling sort of thing. You know, it's a Jishu had died. There's kind of three steps in this priest path. First is this Tokido. You may have seen this. This is the head shaving, home leaving thing. And then there's a middle thing, which is this called a Shuso. It's being a senior student. And then there's this Denkai, which is, makes you a full-fledged priest, it's not very much related to becoming a teacher in our lineage. In some lineages, being a priest and a teacher is the same thing. In our lineage, it's not. And probably there's more of these stories in the lineage. Those of you who haven't heard them, you can refer to the internet where the Jishu story and the Bernie story probably have pieces of this. But anyway, Bernie finishes up. Jishu died in the middle of my Shuso period, and Bernie finished it up, and he said he was going to do the Denkai in December, which was great because I didn't know I was going to be able to stay with it after Jishu died. And then at this Denkai thing, which is now about 9 months after Jishu's passing, he makes me a Dharma holder. And then, I don't know, 6 months to a year, I guess a year after that, he sends me off to Roshi Kennedy to do the koan stuff. And I'm with Roshi for 6 years. And in that time, some other people become Dharma holders with Roshi Kennedy. And then he makes them senseis, you know, because they get the transmission. I'm still a Dharma holder. You know, what's going on? You know, how come? I get frustrated and impatient, and at various points, I say to Roshi Kennedy, why didn't you just make me a sensei? You know, it's like I'm doing all these koans with you, and I see you more than I see Bernie, and Roshi Kennedy says, doesn't say much, but he says, Bernie's worth waiting for. You know, I look back on it and I can see that the whole 6 years and the 300 different koans that we worked on together, we were working on this one koan. Worked only for a few months. We had koans with Jishu before she died. She would say, go deeper. That was her way of sending me back to the koan. Roshi Kennedy's way of sending me back to the koan was, Bernie is worth waiting for. In this you know, way in which we describe lineages, we use kind of a family model, so like a family tree. So your teacher's teacher is like your grandfather, grandmother. The people who have received transmission from the same teacher as your teacher are like aunts and uncles. So Genpo gets to be my uncle. The people who have the same teacher than you are brothers and sisters. So Roshi Kennedy, you know, it's strange, you know, he's my brother in the Dharma. He's my elder brother. And over a significant period of my childhood, he raised me. But he's my elder brother, and there's sort of this extraordinary thing that he did for me, on top of everything else. Was to not be seduced by my looking for an end run around this hardest to pass koan. And I was very seductive. You know, What Roshi Bernie and Roshi Bob have done together is this extraordinary thing, because they've taken this Zen tree, which is a, you know, has these Buddhist roots in Japan and China and India, and they've created this Christian Catholic branch in the United States. And Roshi Kennedy is a Jesuit priest, and many of his successors are Catholic religious, and there's a lineage. This is the biggest branch of Bernie's tree, is the Kennedy branch. By far, there's probably as many successors on that branch as there are in the rest of the, certainly in the rest of the branches. Bernie's got a lot of successors, but. And there's something to me very seductive in the idea. I think it was a temptation, must have been a temptation for Bob to have me as a successor. You know, because it's a piece of it, his branch not just being a Catholic branch or a Christian branch, you know, but for him to have a Buddhist priest as a teacher in this Zen tradition, and to have a Buddhist teacher as a successor, Buddhist priest teacher as a successor, that's very cool. And it's very attractive. I told him last time, I said, you know, someday he should give me transmission too, because I think there is poetry in that. But that he was not seduced by that was very cool, really spectacular. That he just stayed in this older brother relationship. There's this older brother, younger brother. This is one of the fundamental relationships in the I Ching, you know, in this traditional Chinese Taoist view of the way of viewing the world, way of understanding the world. And it gets pretty lost. It's not nearly so emphasized in American culture. And then when you look at, certainly organizations that we work in, there are a lot of parent-child relationships, or boss, superordinate, subordinate relationships, and there are a lot of peer relationships. But there's not a lot of organized differentiation sort of within the generation. This older brother, younger brother dimension is largely unrecognized. And it was an extraordinary experience and a great gift. And I wonder sometimes if I was faced with the same kind of seduction that I presented to Roshi, would I not be seduced, or would I say, yeah, I'll give you transmission, good students, whatever the thing is, I'll throw this good student. That's not a full portrait of Roshi Kennedy. And all he's done, even in my life, we're here sitting in a Jesuit retreat house, because he wanted us to sit here in Jesuit retreat house. And eight and a half years ago, I guess, he essentially started the group. Some of you know, most of you know. Yeah, he started the group. I was going to help out. I thought he was coming every other week, and I was just going to ring the bells in between. He was going to be the teacher. But, he came that first night to this extraordinary beginner's instruction and didn't come back again for 6 or 8 months. And here we are.